WildTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package, when applied expertly by an expert wrestler like myself, always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
They say she's alive. He says she's alive. And so are we. It's the Raw Post Show live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Gerwick Dunnett and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow us today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Are we just going to go there at the opening?
Yeah.
Do we just want to go? Okay.
Just go.
All right. So Bray Wyatt flipped his rocker. He's back. He's crazy. He found his rocking chair. And he's on repeat going, she didn't lie to me. She never lied to me. She didn't lie to me, over and over and over again. Until he finally sees Finn Balor in the ring and goes, but you lied to me. Because, well, the demon and Finn Balor are one and the same. And Finn lied to Bray about that. Which means Finn and Bray did not come to their match at equal terms. And that's why Bray Wyatt lost at the pay-per-view. At least according to him. But, well, all for naught, because someone is very interested in meeting Finn. And, well, she's very much alive. Which we'll get into that in a second. And then we got some spooky Instagram filter, Snapchat filter kind of look, where Bray was all made up and all, like, had dark circles and his face was kind of painted dark and, like, all this other stuff. And they made him look all spooky and they intertwine a woman's laughter with his, which led to the one thing that I don't want to have happen, potentially, possibly, maybe coming into view, which is they could be debuting a legit character of Sister Abigail. I've been against this from day one. I will continue to be against this until I see it, because if they do it, I will give it a chance. But I feel like I like the problem with Bray. I like that he's gone back to being a little bit more unhinged.
He's actually showing the loss actually matters.
He's showing that the loss actually matters, that it affects him, which is a step in the right direction for him. I like that it's done something to him. It's sent him back to that dark, unhinged place where he kind of initially came from, and he's gotten away from, and now he's going back to it, which is good. But yeah, Abigail worries me. One, because you have him saying she's alive when she was dead with Randy Orton, and then she got re-deaded with Randy Orton when he set the house on fire, and now she's alive.
Re-deaded, I like that.
She's re-deaded.
Hashtag re-deaded.
But now she's alive again, and apparently she's maybe kind of coming, and it could be Sage Beckett based on a post that she put out on Twitter. Y'all can go check that out. But basically, she tweeted out, "Everything is a lie, darling," or something to that effect, and it's a picture of a woman in front of a burning building with a hashtag of Raw, so very apropos there.
It came out a couple hours before that, the promo, by the way.
Yeah.
For people to reference point. I'm intrigued.
I'm intrigued. but I'm very, very, very concerned. Like, I'm being reserved about this. I'm not, like, super excited. Like, some people are. I know some people are really super excited because they wanted to see Sister Abigail for a really long time, pretty much ever since Bray debuted, because it's like, who is she? I'm one of those people. I like that she's ambiguous. I like that she's almost all in Bray's mind, and she's not an actual real person.
And that may still be the case. To him, she could still be alive. And that's what this driving force may be. Even if there's some sort of fictitious person coming out to play it, it may not be in front of the live audience. It may be, you know, you may see her in front of the live audience, but it's a magic trick, as it were.
And they've done that in the past with her, usually around this time, where they'll break out the more spooky stuff with Bray because they can. It's the one time of year that it's 100% appropriate because it's October, it's Halloween. You know, you can be a little bit more supernatural with him and get away with it. I mean, the promo he cut was very, very good. Again, I like that he's gone back to being unhinged. I just don't know about Sister Abigail, and I'm hoping that maybe it is some she's only in his mind sort of thing, or she's gone to being, like, she was alive at some point, and now she's died, or he killed her. We're still not 100% sure how that went down. And then Randy Reed killed her, and now she's just alive in Bray's mind.
And maybe this could lead to Bray painting himself up in some sort of spooky way, claiming to be an Abigail. I don't... Just throwing this out there. It's a theory. It's not a good theory. I'm just throwing all the theories out there.
The only way I would really be okay with it is if Bray took someone, which they're not going to do, and either brainwashed a female member of the roster into thinking she is Abigail, or somehow spiritually, supernaturally, takes the spirit of Abigail and physically puts it into one of a female, whether it's, you know, an announcer, whether it's a wrestler, whether it's a backstage person, you know, whatever, where he actually has Abigail be reborn in this vessel. Because, you know, Bray himself, the entity that is Bray Wyatt, occupies the body that he's in, but it's not supposedly him originally. That was how they explained the whole transformation between one character to another. So you could do that again with Bray and Abigail. The problem with that is when you do that, you'd have to reference back to it. You just can't, like, if it's not working after 2 weeks, be like, have her be like, okay, yeah, I'm fine, peace out. And she's good. Like, you'd really have to do a lot of acting with that to show long-term sort of effects from that. Or have her go away for a certain amount of time and then have her come back and be okay. That's my only thing with it. But, I mean, if they do it, I'll give it a chance, but I'm just very cautiously optimistic. But it's a step in the right direction for Bray.
This is the thing. There's direction. It's leading to something.
It's leading to something which he hasn't had, really, in a while.
Which is something, yeah, exactly. We're actually getting a full-on direction. There's long-term vision on what this possibly could be. Whatever it is. Whether it's good or bad, there's a direction. And they always say, the build-up is always better than the payoff. This could be a really good build-up with a crappy payoff. I'm okay with that. I'm just glad they're doing something with them.
Same.
Monday Night Raw ended with the roast of the Cruiserweights. It did. Legit did. Enzo said, you know, basically, all the Cruiserweights can't touch him. They will get, can't get a title shot. Or, this week, they'll get fired. Then, all the Cruiserweights come out. One by one, he roasted each of them. One of the better lines was, he looked at Gulak, who was in a suit. Well, you're dressed in a suit. You go sit next to Corey Graves behind the announce desk, playing up the Twitter beef.
Shots fired!
Shots were fired all around. But he took it. Okay, I will say this about the other stuff. The roasting was fun. It was entertaining. It was what it needed to be.
I will say I really liked when Neville came out and he was flanked on either side by like 8 of the Cruiserweights, or 6 or 8 of the Cruiserweights, and he just looked out like he was walking out with this army behind him.
You had people also in the crowd as well.
Yeah, and then you had the rest of them come through the crowd and surround ringside. So it's like the squad has arrived sort of thing, or Neville's leading this army to face down Enzo. Like, I really enjoyed the hell out of that because, like, yes, you have Neville, who really doesn't care about anything except the title, leading this charge. And I think it's absolutely brilliant.
So, after the roast was over, Kurt Angle's music hit. He comes out and says, he has signed someone. Yes, he signed someone who was already on his roster because those cruiserweights last week couldn't touch him, nor could they touch those. These specific cruiserweights can't touch him, or they'll be fired. But this new cruiserweight can, because he just signed him, even though he's already on Monday Night Raw. Kalisto is a new member of the cruiserweight roster. So I guess Kurt Angle's in charge of 205 Live, I guess. We were debating who was actually in charge. So, he signed to 205 Live, Kalisto comes out, takes down, hits the Isolina del Sol on Enzo, and poses with the crowd. So yeah, Kalisto, cruiserweight, about time?
Really should have been a cruiserweight from the beginning. I don't know why it's taken this long to put him in the division, but okay, alright, yay, he's a cruiserweight, that's awesome, that's a step in the right direction. I like that they're pushing him right at Enzo. And I also like that they carried through the consistency of, well, if you all touch him, you can't get a title shot. So it's like the entire division went after him, and Kurt Angle's like, nope, the entire division, you're done.
I have a new one. It's Kalisto.
Yeah, it's like, I like how they found the flaw in the logic of, well, if nobody in the division can go for the title, then hey, guess what? Enzo is permanent champion. Like, because nobody can face him. So, okay, we have a way to fix that. Kalisto, you're in the division now because you didn't beat up Enzo. And oh, hey, by the way, the rule where you can't touch Enzo, yeah, that doesn't apply to you. You can just, like, kick his butt every week, and it's fine.
I just realized Tim picked Kalisto in the fantasy draft.
Son of a biscuit.
As his last pick.
Well, things just got interesting, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Anyway, Kalisto's been on Raw since April, and he's, so, 6 months later, he's a cruiserweight. Sort of like the Neville thing. We'll see how it plays out. LeMans is like, it reminded of the real, the Jordan real, who cares? Like, yeah, it would have been cool if they actually brought someone up or signed someone new and brought them in to make a big splash, but who knows?
Budget cuts.
Why would Angle agree to Enzo's demands? Because he was setting Enzo up.
Because he's the champion, because Kurt probably really doesn't care. You know, there's any number of reasons of why Kurt would give in to Enzo's demands, but I think the number one is that he does have the title, and you'd keep your, and as we know, they like to keep their champions, at least their heel champions, happy. So I think that's what went on between Angle and Kurt, or Angle and Enzo. If I could speak, I can't speak.
So I'll speak. Speaking of Jason Jordan, as we mentioned a moment ago, he teamed with Matt Hardy to take on Gallows and Anderson, and they lost.
That's not all he lost. He lost his straps, too.
He did lose his straps.
He has new gear. He has fancy new green trunks. I feel so bad for Jason Jordan. They are trying so hard with him.
They're doing everything they can to get him over, and none of it's working.
I mean, you know, it's bad. It's, like, really bad. If you're going to stick Jason Jordan in a tag team, for the love of God, go get Chad Gable. Just go get him.
Right? Like, seriously.
I'm sure Brian will let you have him at this point.
No, he's already been replaced by another person that looks, you could, anyway. Moving on so he doesn't sound
He seems right. like he's slightly damaged goods. He might be broken.
Broken Jordan, yeah. Anyway, can we just delete that? Anyway, moving on. We had Elias beat Titus O'Neil.
Boo!
Braun Strowman took on Seth Rollins. They had a good match. Braun won. Good opener.
As Braun should have won. I'm sorry, Seth, but Braun really should have won, and he did, so I'm fine with this.
You're fine with all this?
Mm.
Yeah. Braun's a monster among men. He destroyed them. And then, afterwards, out came Cesaro and Sheamus to pick the bone.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Sheamus in them pants. Thank you. It's been kind of a crappy day. You made it better. Much appreciated. Love the fangirls and fanboys everywhere. That's really all I remember about the opening, or that segment between those four, is Sheamus's pants.
Bayley and Sasha beat Emma and Alicia Fox. Yes, they found Alicia Fox. Emma walked out on Alicia Fox.
Which is not nice.
Ain't cool, yo. So there's that happened on Monday Night Raw. Charlie Caruso was doing her backstage reporting as Ivory from the Right to Censor this week.
What the hell? Like, legit, straight up, she looked like Ivory. She had the white blouse, the black bow tie, the black pants, the black heels. Awesome blue nails. But, like, what? Did I miss something here?
Speaking of Alicia Fox and Emma, Mickie James was walking around backstage, and, you know, they were talking about her age, and that she had a secret admirer, and there was gifts for her in her dressing room, so she found the pens and a walker and other things. Mickie was furious. She approached Alexa Bliss's door, pounded on it, wanted a piece of Alexa Bliss. Out came Nia Jax. So the Jax and Bliss connection is back together again. And Alexa was claiming that Mickie James is too fragile and she doesn't want to fight anyone too fragile like that. And so, but Nia will. So we had Nia and Mickie. They had a solid match. And Mickie won by DQ after Alexa got involved. Good stuff.
Alexa and Nia sharing a locker room is my everything. They were just in there doing normal gal pal things. Yeah. Nothing suspicious at all.
Nothing suspicious at all.
But yes, them together is everything. I love them together.
So it was a good pairing. Nice. They have great chemistry together. So the big match of the night was Roman Reigns versus The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. Before the match even starts, Roman Reigns takes out Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel with many fist pumps, punches, and chair shots. Oh my.
I like this. I like this a lot. I feel really bad for Bo and Curtis because they kind of had to take a beating with a chair. But I really, really, really like this. I like it when you have Roman be a little bit more aggressive than what he's been. Like, I just hate that he's always kind of so flat. So when you have Roman express that anger and you have him express that frustration in this manner, I like it. I'm happy they didn't go all the way to, like, zero to vehicular homicide like they did last time. Like, they just kind of gauged it a little bit, which is good.
Should mention Miz and the Miztourage did the Shield entrance.
They did do the Shield entrance. And that's what pissed Roman off, because he's like, you'd be ripping off my thing.
So Miz and Roman had a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Match ended in disqualification when Cesaro and Sheamus came out and attacked Roman Reigns. The three men beat down Roman Reigns, the Neutralizer, the Bro Kick, the Skull Crushing Finale. And the fans were chanting, Shield, Shield, Shield. So what did they do? They give them the Shield. In the form of Sheamus, Cesaro, and Miz, they lay him out with a triple powerbomb and do the fist bump.
I like this. I like the hell out of this. This is perfect to me. Again, it's like Miz, Cesaro, and Sheamus on paper shouldn't work. But when you see the three of them together, you see the mix of the personalities. It's like, yes, all the things. Yes, right there. Do it. It's perfect. And again, pants.
So, after the roast of the Cruiserweights, he went backstage to the locker room. Roman Reigns is beat up, sore, checking on his body. Camera pans over. It's Dean Ambrose. Roman stands up. They eye each other over. In walks Seth Rollins. He eyes up. They eye each other over. They sort of nod. Ambrose leaves. Rollins leaves. Roman has a decision to make.
This was interesting the way that they did this. Because you didn't have Dean and Roman react to each other like they normally react to each other. There wasn't that buddy-buddy camaraderie there that they've had in the past. It was very much, this is business. And you could tell that this was business between Roman and Dean, where it's like, all right, you want to put the band back together? We can put the band back together. And the big issue will be Roman and Seth. Can they coexist? Is all forgiven between Roman and Seth? For what happened. Can Roman trust Seth? That's the whole big thing of putting this thing back together. And I feel like if they tell that story, this will be really, really good because you can have Miz, Sheamus, and Cesaro prey on that singular weakness, which is you cannot trust Seth Rollins because he put a chair on your back. Literally. He betrayed you. He went off to the authority. He did this. He did that. He sold his soul to the devil to get what he wanted, and he left you in his dust. Y'all can't trust him. And that trust factor needs to be there right up until they go into the match, and even in the match, until they finally just are like, you know what? Screw it. We can worry about it later. And they start working together like they did in the past.
And if this is a reunion, it should not be a one-off.
I'm conflicted about that.
Which meaning you need other forces for them to go through.
It's not going to happen.
I didn't say anything, did I?
No, but I know exactly where you're going with this. It's not going to happen.
Okay, so what I'm talking about is the reunion of the three-man band. Lindsay says it's not going to happen. Sorry, Ginger's just going to have to stay champ, everyone. She won't let it happen.
It's not even that. Drew's down in NXT. Ginger's on SmackDown. Heath's on Raw. You gotta get them all in the same place. And Ginger's not losing that title anytime soon. Just, you know.
I have to give up that fantasy.
you have to give up that fantasy. You have to give up other fantasies, too, because there are other people on SmackDown that can't get over to Raw.
Are they on SmackDown, though?
Yeah.
But are they?
They're not on TV, but they're on the brand.
I was going to say, they're blue, but they're not on SmackDown. Just pointing it out.
The Beardy Children are on SmackDown. Two of the three. So, Larger Beardy Child is on Raw, and Beardy Dad is on Raw. There's kind of a problem. You need at least three to make the Beardies.
Anyway, my point is, you can't just do this as a one-off, because then that'll be, you're losing money.
I don't know, though, because it's like, I don't... Like, I want it to be one-off, but I don't. But I feel like it would ultimately hurt Seth and Dean if you put them back in the Shield with Roman. And that's not a shot at Roman. It's just, it's like, we literally don't have anything else, so we're going to put the Shield back together. You know, that's what this feels like, is it's like, okay, we're out of options. We're going to put, we've all got them on the same show. We all saw this months ago when they did the whole move thing, that this is where they were going with it. And while I'm excited to see the Shield again, I really, really am, I don't know if I want them to be a permanent fixture for a while. Because I feel like Dean and Seth are going to take that backseat to Roman. And for everything that they both achieved, I don't necessarily believe that they deserve that.
I'm just saying, it's the only way to keep Roman away from that belt.
I know, but...
I know, it's just the way it is.
Can't they just do the title match and be done with it? It seems like it would be so much easier.
Nope.
Damn it.
Sierra Hotel. India. Echo. Lima. Delta. Shield. I came to
play. And that'll be it for the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, twitch.tv/rackradioshow is WTR Sims. 11:15 p.m. Eastern. We're two episodes. This is the final episode before the grand finale next week. twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/rackradioshow. There's a new trailer up where you can see what's coming this fall on youtube.com/rackradioshow. Speaking of the rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. Tune in. We'll have news. We'll have notes. NXT, SmackDown, and we are talking all about the upcoming SmackDown pay-per-view, Hell in the Cell. We'll preview it. We'll let you know who we think's going to win, who's going to lose, and, well, what's going to happen. So it's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Plus, Dancing with Bella, and how you can win a copy of Second Nature. Tune in Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern.
Previous winners not eligible.
Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter.com, but still play. YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, all over the place, Rack Radio Show. Saturday night, midnight edition, see Burrito, the Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual. Last week we did the Great or the Great debate on toys and Rob Sung. This week we're doing baseball players because the playoffs have started. So tune in for the Great or the Great debate, hashtag Blame Robs, and so much more Saturday night's midnight edition on CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio, 11 p.m. Eastern, reviewing Hell in a Cell. We'll be back next Monday for a Raw Post Show live across the airways at 11, 10 p.m. Eastern at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LNSWRD, and go to our website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as Twitter's.
Girlwork.net, wrestling figure photography, instagram.com/MBG1211. This has been the Raw Post Show, streaming live across the airwaves of Wild Talk Radio Network and on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back next Monday night for a Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. And enjoy all the content all week long right here at WildTalkRadio.com. I came to play. There's a place to play. Time for you to get down on your knees. I came to play. Go back to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a few times. I came to play. Get my toothpaste. I guess you had a dream, but it can't be saved. I came to play. They're glowing. Hear all these people cheer. Feel all the love that's flowing. All just because I'm here. Get up and on your feet. Get your hands up in the air. WildTalkRadio.com.